Welcome to the Sexy Biz Babe podcast. I'm your host, Tia Lynn, a business empowerment coach and motivational speaker. This show is for the high-achieving woman who wants it all. Each week, I walk you through how to own your power, generate consistent leads, attract clients, and close sales with ease and confidence. It's time to make money doing what you love. Let's dive in. Hello, everyone. Welcome to today's podcast. I'm here with Allison Stockton, and she's a health and wellness coach for female entrepreneurs. So here she is, and go ahead and introduce yourself a little bit.
Hey, guys. Thanks to you for having me on here. So I'm Allison Stockton, and I'm the founder of my company called Vibrant Balanced Health. And I wanted to call the company that because that just embodies everything that we need within our wellness, you know? So I've been a health coach for 18 months. I've actually been a personal trainer and a fitness educator since I was 21 years old. So just transitioning into more of the health coaching, going a little bit deeper and really getting to understand what holds women back, both physically and mentally. So becoming a health coach was so much more empowering than just being a personal trainer and taking people through the, okay, that's 15 reps, let's do that three times, let's see how many more weights can we lift since last time. It's about the mindset, but also it's about what's really going on inside. You know, is it just thick covering that you're trying to push through, but everything else inside is crumbling? Or where are we that really, really need that focus that we can embody everything? Because well-being is about being vibrant, it's about being balanced, and it's about finding that health as well.
Yeah, I bet you found that just doing personal training was only going to get you so far with these people, and that the mindset and the inner health and all the other things were more important. And that's probably, you're like, oh, well, I don't want to just do personal training because you can only go so far. Some of my clients have also had that like epiphany and changed their business. So what's been kind of some of your breakthroughs in your business, or how did you even start this business?
Well, I've been in business since I was 21. So I've had personal training businesses in the UK, in a place called the Isle of Man, which is in between England and Ireland. So a tiny little island in Jersey and the Channel Islands. Again, it's another tiny little island off the bottom of the UK, but also in Dubai and Switzerland. So every time I moved countries, I was also having to start a personal training business again, and getting clients on that one-to-one basis and, you know, work an hour, get paid an hour. And because we were moving so much, I was thinking, I need to do something more to reach more women across the world. And also from my own epiphany moment, I kind of woke up and thought there is more to life than just training people in the gym. I need to know how I can work with them on a deeper level to get them their optimal results. So started 4 years ago after I had a car accident. I kind of thankfully woke up after being in the accident, and then I realized that that's what I wanted to do. So I went ahead and trained as a health coach to graduate. And also with currently just finishing off my eating psychology coaching diploma. So
awesome. So what's kind of eating psychology? And so a lot of people, when they're going to start a new thing, maybe it's fitness, it's health, it's both of them, they're going to come up with a lot of blocks because it's pretty much rewiring your brain. You're so used to going to grab the ice cream when you're uncomfortable. You're so used to shaming yourself or hating yourself. And like it's a big part of getting these results. So what's been like a big shift for your clients in rewiring their brain to get the results they want?
A lot of the time, it's a really hard admission. Admitting is the first step. Like, you know, even women in their 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, even in their 60s, still approach me and say, you know, if I've done a speaking event or if I've done a Facebook Live or whatever, and they've like private message me or come up to me and say, that's me. I was like you. I was a health and wellness coach or a fitness coach, and I was struggling with these inner demons for years and years and years. I'd either overeat or undereat or beat myself up in the gym to get over it. And it's something within the subconscious pattern that just keeps repeating. So eating psychology, as you know, psychology is about the brain. It's the science of the brain. So that subconscious belief where something's either been said to somebody when they were younger and they've held on to it, could even be from the age of 3 years old, unknowingly, but that's where it is. This was something that happened when I was working with a client the other day. We just went backwards and she was three. That's when it began. It like gives me goosebumps to know that that's where we can kind of retrace it back from. So
yeah.
From three into the 40s has lived with this, you know, subconscious belief that she's not good enough and she can't gain weight or too much weight, then she's not going to be good enough. So she's got to go back into this cycle. So
yeah,
you've got to look at when you're trying to get somebody healthy with their emotions and their mental health, as well as their physicality. And, you know, the eating emotional triggers are the thing that needs to be addressed first. And foremost.
And I want to touch base on that, you guys, that it could be living inside you subconsciously. Like you don't really realize it. And it's something you can identify. Say you have a repeating pattern and you're like, oh, I always hit a certain point and then I eat more. Or when I go through a breakup, or I can't get below this number, or I can't get above this number if you're a male, or, you know, that's the pattern. And that's the first thing, is that you identify as the pattern. And then you're like, okay, there's got to be something behind that. And so I was having a pattern, which I'm struggling with, is my acne, is I hit a point and I'll do good for so long and I won't be picking and I'll love my face again. And then there's a point, I don't know what triggers it. I haven't identified this yet, but I'll start picking again. And then I got all clear and pretty and I loved myself again. And then something happens and then I know it's something like unworthiness. So I'm going to have to work on this, but I did identify it again. I started picking and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm getting back into that pattern and I'm going to start making my face break out. And then I had to be like, okay, change it now before it gets worse. And I had to love myself again and like stop the pattern. But honestly, I would need someone to like, help me identify that. I don't even know what it is. I've identified some triggers, but that's where you identify. Maybe someone needed to hear this on the podcast.
Maybe we need to have a conversation and a separate podcast on this too. The trick I would tell you for, or not a trick, because there's no tricks fixing anything. The tip is to journal when you do it. Keep a separate journal just for you of when that happens. What situation have you been in? What environment have you been in? Which people have you been in? Been around? What social environments have you got, either something coming up that's stressing you? So you sabotage yourself by knowing that you want to look really pretty, but something breaks out. So you just automatically hit that, okay, I'm going to mess with you button. And then once you've kept a journal for about 14 to 30 days, then you can start to see that repeating behavior. It's the same with food, because that is sabotaging behavior. If you know that something's breaking out and you know you need to leave it alone to heal and get better, there's something triggering, you need to go into it. So it's the same with food. So a lot of women who have this emotional trigger could be, as you said, they're either want to break up with their boyfriend, somebody's pissed them off, they're emotional eating, they're watching a movie and they just want to numb out. So they could be like sticking their hands in the chocolates or the, you know, the candy bars and the popcorn, and just before you know it, they're just mindlessly eaten. It's another pattern is you're so hungry, you've missed food all day long, and you get home, you get to the refrigerator, you open it, and before you've even taken your ingredients to the counter, you've already got food in your mouth.
Yeah.
You're not taking it and preparing it. Now that could be, it could even be a carrot, for example, which in itself is not bad. But how you eat it in that speed and quickness, it's not allowing your natural peristalsis of the gut to work so that you can feel that full feeling, because you're eating super quick and you're eating so much of it, and you could be dipping the carrot in hummus, you could be dipping the carrot in peanut butter because you're so hungry. And then before you know it, you're sitting down for a meal and you've got to eat all of that meal even if you don't really know and understand when you're full.
Yeah, that's one thing I've always identified is I try and do portion control and like put it on the plate. Yeah. Don't have your half piece, half piece, half piece, because it's like a mind thing when you keep having half of your meal or a fourth. You know the people that go grab a bite of the cake, another bite, and they've eaten two pieces of cake, whereas if they would have just grabbed the full cake, they would have had one. Yeah. And that's a repeating pattern maybe someone sees. What would you say to help identify maybe some of these patterns that come up for them?
Again, it's a journal. Keep a journal at least 14 days. And before you, admission is one of the biggest things. And it takes a lot of bravery to step out of that fear, to know that you're good enough and to know that there is support and help out there. That was something that I myself found really hard as an anorexic for years. I tried to hide it. I'd buy bigger clothes. I would say I'd already eaten, or I'd go back and just overeat and then take laxatives. Or there was, you know, the reciting pattern constantly was of not feeling good enough, that lack of worth. So even if somebody's listening now and they're not really ready to admit to anybody else or reach out or seek help, or, you know, everything's private, confidential. Even if you're speaking to somebody who has a weight issue, that's not really going to be your best ally.
Yeah.
You need to who really knows how they can help you. Because if you want to lose weight, if you're overweight, for example, and you continue to emotionally eat, that self-sabotaging behavior is, okay, I'll eat what the hell I want on the weekend and eat as much of it as I want to. And then come Monday, I'm just going to eat nothing but lettuce. And I'm going to do that all the way through. Yep. And then Friday, like, okay, I'm just going to have the glass of wine and that's going to lead into a bottle. And because I've drank wine, I want to eat the potato chips. And because I've eaten the potato chips, I want to eat the burger and yada, 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 yada.
Yeah, it's like a slippery slope.
I'm on this diet and it's not working. Well, it's not working because of the emotional behavior. And if you are on a diet when you're already feeling self-lack,
yes,
it is going to work anyway because you've already been defeated before you've began.
Yeah.
Because there's no hand-holding on a diet.
Yeah. And that's kind of why I don't diet. I find a lifestyle that I love and I enjoy. And even sometimes, like yesterday, I'm not going to lie, I wanted ice cream and I allowed myself to have it. And I loved it. And I didn't shame myself afterwards for eating ice cream. But I already previously know, like, I can stop. There's a certain amount. I will be fine if I eat this whole amount. And I just love it. And then the next day, I usually am like, okay, I had a whole, like, a big thing of ice cream yesterday. So today I'm going to love myself and be a little healthier. But I'm not going to do this very high up and then low, where I, like, hate myself and I'm like, oh, I have to overcompensate. It's more like, ooh, today I'm just going to put like a little healthier things in my body. Maybe I'll work out a little longer, but it's on loving myself.
Yeah. And that's the key. It's removing sabotaging behavior. It's removing the lack of not being good enough and not feeling good enough and hating your body. You know, even when you're working out, it's work out because you love your body, not because you hate it. And this was one of the biggest things as a personal trainer. You know, so many times the women would say, and I still hear it now, is I want to look like her. It's like, saying to you, you are never going to look like her and she is never going to look like you. You are tall, you're this shape, you're whatever. You have to embrace your uniqueness and your magnificence in order to do that.
I have a thing on this. So growing up, I have thicker legs naturally. Like, I will never have thin legs because I naturally grow muscle quicker and I'm very active. So growing up, I thought that was something wrong with me because most of the other girls had skinny legs and the Barbies had skinny legs. And like, I had like strong legs, like more like physique. And so growing up, I realized this and at first I noticed like, oh, the other girls have skinny legs, but then they would complain too. And I was like, that's weird. Like the girls that I want their legs, they complain too. So I was like, what if I just loved my legs and then I amplified them? And so this was a shift even just younger. And so I loved my legs. I changed it. I was like, I can't change my legs. I can't be skinny. So like that. And so I was like, you know what? I'm going to love my muscly legs. And then I even worked them out more to like amplify the muscularness. And then I just loved it. And that attracted the people who loved my legs because I loved them.
That is the difference. It's that shift of the mindset. Your mindset, literally, the neuroplasticity of your brain can shift in an instant if you allow it to. If you come from a place of happiness, gratitude, and embracing it, then that is amazing. Because I had similar last year. I was running. We were still living in Switzerland, and I ran past this glass, and I could see myself in shorts. And rather than hating on myself, which I would have done years and years ago, I just went, oh, I need to do a few more hill climbs. I need to do a few more stairs. It's looking good. It's getting tanned. But I just need to love them a little bit more and give them a little bit more attention. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. It's give it attention and give it energetic attention. If you're giving it the vibrations of negativity, which is what women tend to do, and we talk about so much more with women because women have a higher pressure on them socially to be a certain way. And yes, it's socially, but also on ourselves. We want to look that way. And it's so, when you put that energy of, oh my God, she's so amazing. She's so beautiful. Look at me. I'm this, I'm that. And when you bring that negative vibration into yourself, that's exactly the vibrations that you're giving out.
Yeah, so, that's so true. So just to, acne is my struggle. It's the thing I've struggled with. And so I like to relate it back and forth. Plus it gives you a little bit different diversity on this. So when I was trying to stop picking, I used to write down, I used to pay attention to the negatives and I'd be like, I'm going to keep track of every time I picked. And so I would mark it. And I realized that was not helping me. That was focusing on me, how bad I did. And I bet people do this in eating too. It's like, oh my gosh, I had that cookie. And then they focus on that cookie and that negative behavior where they could just be like, oh, I had a cookie. Cool. But I'm still taking the right steps and I'm still loving myself to get there. And that's where the shift of my acne helped, is me stopping, focusing on the negative and being like, oh, look how far I've come. Oh, I'm still making progress. And then if I pick, I'm like, that's okay. I picked less today.
And that's amazing. You know, and you need to have those positive affirmations on your mirror, the positive affirmations.
Yes.
You look amazing today. Leave your face alone. It's healing. You're healing. You're amazing. You're beautiful. Leave it alone and step away. And you, it kind of, it gives you that second. And a really good tip with food as well, because you just spoke about cookies, and if a woman is really down on herself and she's had one cookie, a lot of the time it's, well, to hell with it. I've had one. I feel like crap. I may as well eat the whole packet. The that is, I had that one cookie. I really enjoyed that cookie. And I know that my body does not need to have any more, because at this moment right now, I feel that I am healthy, I am happy, and I enjoyed it. If you step forward to 5-10 minutes or however quickly you can eat that packet, are your emotions going to be the same? Are you going to then turn it into, why did I do that? I wish I'd never eaten that. I feel glad. So it's okay. Take one, walk away from that one, then address how you feel. And a great, I've always got a band around my wrist because I've always got my hair up or whatever. A big tip for anything with your face or emotional eating is, if you can get into grips with it, do I need this? How is it going to make me feel? And the harder you pull it is, how is it going to make me feel? How is it going to hurt me?
Yes. How is it going to make me feel? And that's something I do with food. Like I eat based on how I feel. And so whenever food that you know hurts your body, before you eat it, think of that. So pastas really make me uncomfortable. They make me hurt for like a whole day. And so before I eat a pasta, which is almost never, because I honestly focus on my feelings and I'm like, is this worth it? How is this going to make me feel? And then maybe I have less, or I really focus while I'm eating to really enjoy it and like be like, oh, this is so good that it's worth the pain. Like, so, but I don't eat pasta very often because it makes me hurt. So that's just something, example for me. A lot of things I do that with.
And something else as well with food. It's about, you know, not only emotional eating and eating psychology, it's about intuitive eating. It's also about understanding your body. So if it makes you hurt, that's your body rejecting it.
Yeah.
And doesn't like it and it doesn't work for your body. So again, from lots of processes of women, when they have self-sabotage or they have emotional eating or they've got all of these different things going on, usually what can happen is they've upset their homeostasis of their gut. So, you know, they might be allergic to the gluten and that's why it's giving them that gut ache or that bloating. They might be allergic to legumes or they might be allergic to peppers. Do you know, it's like, okay, we know the foods that would aggravate us, but what about the underlying foods that we're not really seeing? What is it making us feel unhealthy? What is it that might be triggering acne? Is it almond milk? Is it peanut butter? It could be anything. So the healthier your gut is, the less likely you are to be ill. But if you are, it will happen so much quicker and you will be able to really address it in a very, very quick stage.
Yeah. Oh, so I actually did an allergy test recently because someone brought that up. They were like, it could be anything, just like strawberries or something. And I found out, I did the allergy test on Groupon. Maybe I could add it in the link in the bio. So you guys should check it out. There's a discount and I did the very enhanced one where it was like everything. And it told me I was allergic to lemon, highly reactive. And I'm like, I grew up putting lemon in my water all the time to help me with my acne, to help me with my metabolism. I was literally putting something that was bad for my body that sounds like it's good all the time. And so I was like, what? And then cocoa. So I have vegan protein shakes and cocoa is in them because I love, literally cocoa is something, the one thing I'm addicted to. And I had to take it out and now I'm doing the vanilla protein shakes, but I had to figure that out. And I'm just like, I was literally eating it.
Cocoa or raw cacao?
It said cacao, like C-A-C-A-O.
Yes. But you're allergic.
I guess I'm highly reactive to it and I don't know what the reactive is. I just took the thing and it said I was like the red and it said I was highly reactive to it. And I was like, huh. So I started taking it out. I don't completely take it out because it's literally my favorite food is like chocolate flavor. But
just take a month, eliminate it for a month and then do one thing with that on the morning in an empty stomach, do that one thing with cacao and see how it makes you. Because a lot of some of the allergy tests are really good, but some of the time they can misread a good few things. So that's what I would do. Take it out completely for a month, see how you go. And there isn't really an alternative for raw cacao. But matcha is quite sweet. Maca. Maca is like ashwagandha. It's very caramelly. It might help with your skin as well.
Yeah, I'm going to look it up. So I did hear that. Like sometimes it identifies what you eat a lot. And that is something that I eat a lot. So I'm like, okay, maybe I'm not allergic to it. I just eat a lot of it. So maybe I could like not as much. Cacao. I like all the chocolate's my favorite flavor. But yeah, I'm going to try that for sure. And you guys try to take these and do what she said on testing it. I think that's great. One thing that came up when you were talking is I have this really good thing that I'm going to share since we're talking about fitness. So instead of when you look at a picture and you're judging yourself against this person. So for me, Victoria's Secret models, I don't have that body. Me looking at a Victoria's Secret model is impossible. I will never, ever, ever look like that. It's my body is not made like that. So don't make your little like go-to images or like where you look at and you want to be. Change it to something similar to your body type.
Yes. That's so true and so important. So important that you do that and you really aspire to be you and to be the highest version of yourself. Be you. Imagine if you want, to change something that is changeable, like your weight, obviously your height and your body, disposition, because it's predisposed, whether you're endomorph,
yeah,
ectomorph, that is already predisposed to you. You cannot change, you know, and you can't change the aesthetics, but what you can do is shape it. You can nourish it. It's like putting a blob of clay on a spinning wheel, and you literally have to master your craft. You have to create beautiful vision of something that is art, that is you, that you are so proud of, that you create the best version, the highest version of yourself to be your happiest. And that's what's so important.
Yeah. So ladies, if you want to change, try to make it achievable. Like, look at something that's like your body. What's the one, the muscular one, the ecto?
Yeah, ectomorph.
The ectomorph. So like Hayden Panettiere has more of that body. She has the bigger shoulders. She's more like built like a gymnast. And so I can look at her and be like, yes, that's beautiful. Or I look at Rihanna because she's a little thicker, and like, and you find the loving things about them and find that in yourself too. And be like, yeah, she's beautiful. I can be beautiful too. If you're tall and skinny and you can't be thick, then love that tall and skinniness, and like, just look at someone that also is beautiful and tall and skinny, and just love them and love yourself in that.
And you know what? I'm just going to, when we're talking about body shapes, it's not about like the apple, the pear, the hourglass and all of that, because you can still be hourglass and be muscly. You can still be a pear and be slim. Mm-hmm. You know, you can be an apple with these legs up to your armpits, but it's what is your sports type? What are you predisposed to, whether it is endomorph, ectomorph, or mesomorph? And what can you change, you know? What can you change with nurturing yourself? Like, you're muscular. If you didn't train and work out, you would not be muscular. So you would have soft muscle tissue. So you, therefore, would say, do you know what? I want to aspire to the women you've just said. I'm going to work out a little bit more. That doesn't need to be slaving in the gym. That could be a 10, 20, 30-minute HIIT session. Mm-hmm. A day. Own body weight. It doesn't mean that because you want to change to be your higher self and you know that there's personal growth there, that you have to literally beat yourself up again, because that's going back to hating your body rather than loving your body and working out to love it, not hate it.
Yes. If someone can walk away with this, I just want them to walk away with that. Love your body in the process. Love the fat you put on. If you're trying to get it off, love it. Be like, I enjoyed so many great foods. I enjoyed eating out. I enjoyed paying less. Whatever it is, love it as it is, and literally put love. A lot of women struggle with the belly. So instead of hating it, and every time you go to the mirror looking at it and hating it, look at it and love it. Love that gut.
One thing that I do with my women who have had children. So, you know, they may have had children years ago. They may have only had children a short while ago. But then they're really hating the fact that they see how their body has changed, and all they see is their stomach. It might have stretch marks, whatever it might be. And it's like, guys, take a look at what you created. Yeah. That price you've paid is really small, albeit it's going to be with you, and it's a reminder every day of the magnificent child and the magnificent life that you've created. So when you look at each and every mark, or every part of you that's not quite as it was before you had that baby, remember the process and your uniqueness that allowed that life to live, and embrace it.
Just find the love no matter what. And that is what I did with my face. And I couldn't look in the mirror for a while. In fact, I have to avoid my mirror. I have to avoid the mirror and looking at my face when I have the scars or I've been picking. I have to avoid it, but I still love it. I like put love onto it. And just because it triggers me, so I put love on it. So if you have to avoid looking at something for a moment, that's okay, but still put the love on it. Like, I put, this is a funny trick, but I put love, like, into my hands. I think of something that I love. I think of, like, puppies or my mom, or I put love into it, and then I, like, put it on my face and hold it there. I know that's kind of a funny trick.
No, it's not.
Love there. And then, because it's hard to put it on. And then you can put it to your belly.
Yeah, yeah. totally, and love it and nurture it and be proud of it. Be proud of, turn it into the love and don't neglect it. And that's the thing. When women hate it so much, they neglect it. So they don't work out, they don't train it, they don't work the inner core, you know, the skin, the tissue, everything that's external. You also have to work those internal muscle fibers that have been stretched all the way through those 9 months, and then you have to bring them back. And even if you have a strong core, remember that you have that strong core rather than hating on it, because that's your support network. That it's called the core for that very reason. That is the core of keeping you standing tall, keeping you strong, keeping your posture aligned. So if women kind of cower over, which they do, and they're afraid of their tummy, obviously everything falls forward. So when you stand tall and you literally bring your shoulders back, you lengthen, you engage that core, and then it's narrower. It's automatically narrower, and it's longer and it's leaner, and you just feel so much more pride because you're opening up the chakras as well when you do that.
Yes, yes. Oh, I love that you're all into this. It's holistic and I love it. One thing that I think you might be able to share some on this, maybe this is a last thing, but one thing when I was trying to change my mindset is I had to realize, how many times was I going to the mirror and hating myself? How many times was I thinking those negative thoughts? And if I had to write it down, how many of those thoughts where I was like, I hate my face, or, oh, is there a zit I need to pick? Oh, is there something I need to do? I bet that goes exactly with weight. How many times are you thinking about, oh my gosh, my stomach, oh my gosh, I hate this, oh my gosh, I have to eat less, oh my god, like that if that's overpowering your day, your thoughts, you're not gonna change. It's gonna keep getting worse, or it's just gonna stagnate you.
We're exposed to about 3,000 adverts a day. We also probably check our phones over 150 times a day. So if you think that we're doing that subconsciously, how many times are we saying that about ourselves as well, regardless of where we are? What's our situation? Are we sitting down and meeting friends? If we're a little bit overweight and we're meeting that friend that's the thinner friend, are we beating ourselves up because we're meeting them? If we're having a conversation with somebody on the phone, are we imagining, are they thinner? Are they fatter? You know, it's kind of, it's everything is a process, and it's how many times, and again, journaling it, journal just even on the notebook on your phone. How many times did I have a negative thought? How can I turn that negative thought to a positive? What was it? Change it in an instant.
Yeah.
Write and put. Take the can'ts into I can's and the won'ts into wills, and just make it positive all the way.
And you guys, I literally had to do this. I had to realize how many times I would go to a mirror. I used to go into the mirror in the car. I would wake up and go to the mirror to see what I could pick. Oh my gosh, I had to admit that I had a problem. And it was hard. I had a legit problem. And then finally, when I started noticing, and I was like, how many times do I think of that? No wonder I'm not getting better. And so I had to decide on like a few affirmations that I could get behind. Like, my face is healing. I'm doing the right steps. I love my face. I love my face. I love my face. And I didn't love it then, but I would say it like in my brain over 100 to 1,000 times, like of these positive thoughts, because the negative ones were so powerful. I had to say it like a lot for my brain to start liking it.
We call it, when I work with my clients, it's that nuisance. Can you switch off the volume for the nuisance and let your friend come alive?
Yeah.
You know, treat yourself as your best friend, because imagine, and I'm sure women have heard this so many times, but treat yourself as your best friend. Imagine if you said what you say to yourself, to your best friend, to your sister, to your mom, how crushed they would feel on a daily basis. And you've got to start realizing that that's what you're doing to yourself. You crush your spirit with the negativity. And you've got to remember, your energy goes where your focus goes. So if you're on that, it's because all that energy that you spent being negative. Switch the new, turn him right down.
Yep. And it's really difficult when you have that habit. Those thoughts are a habit. So it's going to be practice. You have to take practice. You have to practice it to change it.
Have to, because if you are 22, if you are 32, 42, 52, and you started that negative pattern of behavior from 5, 6, 7, or 10 years old, you have to continue to change the message to the positive. It's the neuro-linguistic programming of your brain needs to now be changed to the positives, the positive affirmations. You can literally heal your life, heal your health, heal your wealth, heal your abundance, as long as you continue to believe it and send that positive message out and rewrite. Forget what's in the past. You can't keep going into the past and saying, if you want, say you're on a diet, for example, which I don't do diets, you don't do diets. Diets really generally don't work, only for a small percentage. But if you want to go on a diet, if you already have said it doesn't work because I've done this, 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 and this, again, as I said earlier, you've already set yourself up for failure because you're telling yourself it's going to work before it has. So undoing that old belief system, removing it, stepping forward, say, okay, yesterday I said this to myself. Today I'm moving forward. Today I give myself permission to be the highest version of myself. I will not talk down to her. I will not be disrespectful. I won't be rude. I'm going to be uplifting, empowering, and embracing.
Yes, I love that. And you can decide. Like those past habits and patterns, they can change. And it's you deciding that they change. And then over and over and over again saying, this time it is different. This time it is different. Where else in your life have you actually done something and changed or successfully achieved that you didn't before? Well, you can do that with this. And that was so hard for me with the acne is I was like, well, it's never worked before. Why is this time any different? It's always come back before. Why is this time any different? And I was like, you know what? I bet some people who struggled with weight said that, and that's not something I struggle with. So they could lose weight if they decided and they didn't let go. So why can't I change this? It took something that's easy for me and put it into something that's hard. So that's also like a mind hack. And so I finally, which I mean, I get some breakups and breakouts here and there, and that's okay. But then I stop myself before it gets worse. And so I'm never going to get back to where I was.
Yeah. It is you addressing those patterns. Is it stress? Is it environment? Is it people? Is it situation? What is it? It's the same with the food and the eating.
Yep.
It's being, and you know, asking yourself the question today, what does the best version of myself look like? And what do I need to do to get there? And the big gap is that hack that if people have been in that negative state for such a long time, they do not know how to get that bit in between. They can write, but then they've got to set the intention of what they're going to do to create that best version of themselves. Whether they are not looking to lose weight, but just love themselves. There's so much body positivity around right now. And, you know, that's great. So whether you are thin or large, the most important factor is your health, your well-being, and your happiness and joy.
Yeah. Yeah.
As if you're healthy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm the heaviest I've been. Personally, I would never call myself fat or overweight. I'm very healthy. But I also like where I'm at. Like I do want to lose a few pounds, but I love myself where I'm at. And that actually, if I finally decide to take action to lose some pounds, that's what's going to help me get there is not being like, oh my gosh, I have to do it now. But like loving whatever I'm at now and being like, okay, maybe I'm okay with some change, but it's going to be a little, you know, some change takes difficult in patterns and all that, but loving the journey.
You cannot just get to the destination without taking the journey first. Yeah. And that so many people give up on. If they're trying to attract abundance and wealth, they give up because affirmations after 3 days haven't worked and something hasn't miraculously
affected. Yeah.
People give up on a diet because it's like, well, 3 days and I've only lost 2 pounds. What the hell? I should have lost 5 by now. Well, that's not healthy either. You know, all of these things have to take time.
Yep.
We have 50 trillion cells bodies that can renew every 28 days. And if you are in your highest self, your highest version, every 28 days you renew something more positive, more clear, more vibrant. Your cellular level is just vibrant and alive. But if we just do it for 2 to 3 days and then everything else sets back in, that cellular level can't renew to the version that you really want to be. So it is hard sometimes.
It's very hard.
Put in those, if you want that high performance, you've got to put the high performance habits in. You've got to live as if you are that person. That person who is energetic, that person who is vibrant, that person who literally does not get out of bed and go, this is another day. Oh my God, I hate my life. I hate my body. I hate this. Then you're attracting that for the rest of the day. Have it in your phone. Set a reminder so when your alarm goes off, wake up, it's a beautiful morning. And I'm so grateful for this day. I'm going to be the best version of myself today. Put something in your phone and put little reminders in so you know the negative nuisance can just be crushed day by day by day to get rid of it.
I love that so much. I love that so much. And I'm not a morning person, but I've been training my brain to be like, it's a new day. Yay. Oh, I'm going to put on some positive things and I'm excited. Not, oh, I have to wake up. Oh, I have to wake up. That, see, I already, like, just the words, oh, I have to wake up, like, makes me not feel good.
It's energy. You know, and we're going to talk about one more thing on energy is, I mentioned to you before about who is it that you're surrounding you with if you feel that stress? What is your environment like when you feel that stress? It's the same for emotional eating. But also, if people you surround yourself with, this is out there, so many people know it, you become the version of the 5 people you spend most of the time with. So if you are surrounding yourselves with unhealthy people who are encouraging you to eat the extra portion of cheesecake, with ice cream, with the soda, with the wine, then you are not going to achieve your results if they're the people that you're hanging around with. And if those people... The nuisance sayers and don't believe in positivity and philosophy and what have you, are they your people right now? And sometimes you literally have to move yourself away from people who are not allowing you to become the best version of yourselves. Because if you need so much work, the last thing they want to do is see you go so far and improve your life. So sometimes that can hold you back. So if needs be, stop hanging around with these people. Go meet some new people somehow in a class, or even if it's a crafting class, it doesn't have to be a spin class, you know? It can be something that brings you joy and personal pleasure. And that will take you on that step of wellness and feeling so much more empowered as a woman or a man, whoever's listening.
Yes, I love that so much, and it's so true. I'm so glad I was able to have you on. For anybody wanting to do that homework, you guys, what were some of the things that they want to ask themselves when they get in these habits? You said, like, who are you around? What thoughts? Maybe I'll put it in.
Who are you surrounding yourself with? What thoughts are coming into your mind? If it's an emotional eating, what is the circumstance that's triggered it? Is it stress? Is it a person? Is it a breakup? Is it your job? Is it your surroundings? What is it? Is it the traffic? Are you in angry mode because the food that you're eating is not making you happy? So you could be in angry. So everything around you is angry. So therefore you're eating in anger. And basically just focus on keeping the journal for 14 to 20 days. Why am I eating this? When am I eating this? How am I eating this? And what is it that I'm eating? What is it that my emotional food is that I'm attracted to? And how often do I repeat this habit?
Yeah.
And then see how often have I been doing this for?
Yeah, so this is very, very powerful, you guys. I would love if you could tag us if you do this. Share, take a screenshot of the podcast, or if you're starting to realize or you have an epiphany, I'd love to hear it. Put it in the comments of the podcast. I'd love to hear, share your thoughts, and where can they find you? And if they want to work with you maybe, where can they find you? And I'll put the links in the bio, FYI.
I am on Instagram, Vibrant Balanced Health, and it's the same on all of my things. It's Instagram, Facebook, website. It's all Vibrant Balanced Health.
Okay, you guys, go check her out, vibrantbalancedhealth.com, and on all the things, go give her a follow, go give her a like, and thank you guys so much, and I hope you have a great day. Thanks for tuning in. If you enjoyed this episode, please be sure to subscribe, review, and share with your fellow biz babes. I'd love to hear your thoughts, takeaways, and questions, so leave me a review on iTunes. And until next time, I'll see you at the top. It's up to you to level up.